But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a few weeks ago, I started a series of messages called The Christian State of Being. And the Lord just allowed me to start studying some things. And I guess probably a couple of years ago, just been examining different things in Christianity and looking at how so many people really start with all the right information, the right doctrine, the right truths, and yet still we see a great departure from the faith. And it kind of unsettled me, I'll be honest with you, because it was at a point when I was struggling in the ministry there, and it kind of came unsettled in some ways. And but praise the Lord, understanding because of the good foundation of God here, the Bible always has the answer. You always get into trouble when you look to people for the answer. And that's what I was doing. I was looking at situations and circumstances, individuals' lives, and I began to get unsettled. But then when I looked back to the Bible, the Word of God, I found the answer. And I saw some truths that I believe are helping our church, and I think they help you here tonight. And, you know, the Lord really did a change in my heart from when I first went into the ministry. I was a youth pastor on the south side of town. And I remember I used to always want to preach this message called Get Right with God or Get Out. And because in my youthful ignorance, I looked at people again as the problem instead of now the message is get right with God or miss out. And so I hope to share some things tonight, especially with my church family that I love very dearly, and good to have my dad and my mother-in-law, father-in-law here with me. And it's good when your in-laws are not your enemies, amen. I thank the Lord for them. They're a great blessing. And I was talking to my father-in-law on the phone and just a few weeks ago, just really thanking the Lord for being a part of the family and how our life, won't go into details, but how Susan and I got together, how is a good example of how where sin abounds, much more did grace abound. And so I thank the Lord for His grace and all the wonderful things He's done. But I would ask you to stand just for a moment, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14, if you're able to, and we know your reverence is on the inside, if you're unable to physically stand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 14, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this: Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That does sound good, doesn't it? The Lord Almighty. We're going to preach a message tonight called The State of Being Separate. The State of Being Separate. And most independent Baptists, when you see these passages, you probably already have something in your mind which you think is coming, but it's going to be different, I really believe, and it's going to be something helpful. So don't tune out the separation mindset already. Just give the Lord a chance to do something. I really believe it will help you tonight. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I just ask that the preaching will be clear, the power of yourself will be perfect, and the obedience will be that which pleases you most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. One of the things that I was looking at some time ago, you know, as I began to, you know, in years back, I've been saved 18 years. This year is by the grace of God. And in my first view of salvation, I thought all the problems were with other denominations, you might say. All the fornication, all the worldliness, all the adultery, all the different things. But the longer you serve the Lord, we're realizing that people that are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James only, devil-hating Baptists, and even they're separate in every way possible, are not really separate. And we're seeing some of the saddest things that we used to only see in other denominations happen amongst our own people. And it's heartbreaking. But I think, and for years, we've taught separation. And we need to, by the way. It's biblical. And it needs to be, and it's necessary. But I think what's happening here is that we're going to look at the state of being separate. See, I think we've been doing separation instead of actually being separate. And I hope you see the difference in a moment. I wrote a few statements down here regarding doing versus being. Doing more puts man in control, but being more puts God in control. Doing more implies there's an end to it. That's why many people that have a lot of separation and conviction in their own mind, you can't tell them anything. Because they're so separated, they've got it all worked out. You know, we've got to write this or write that. And some of the most arrogant people you'll ever meet are people that have strong standards and convictions, which we should have strong standards and convictions. But we have to be careful. We temper that with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the reason I know this is because I've preached this to the man in the mirror. Amen. So, doing more, again, applies to us into it. So we think if we have A, B, C, and D in line, then we've arrived. But being more is a process, fluid, and unpredictable. When you try to be what God wants you to be, when He says to be Christ-like, that includes loving your enemies. And if you endeavor to do that, guess what? Your enemies will show up. And you have to, it's fluid. And your enemies always show up in a moment where you're not on a spiritual high. They always show up when you had a rough day, you forgot to read your Bible, you forgot to pray, and all of a sudden you're like, the Lord says, now, be like Christ. Doing more lets a man pick the changes that he needs to make. Being more allows God to reveal the changes a man needs to make. Doing more requires trying harder. And as you've heard pastors say many times, Christians do not try to serve the Lord. They trust to serve the Lord. But being more relies on training humbly. Doing more fuels spiritual pride, but being more produces humility through surrender. Now, in the passage, we're looking at a few thoughts I pray be helpful to you. First thing I want you to notice, number one, is the foundation for being separate. The foundation for being separate. In verse 14, the Bible said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And it makes a statement of fact here, just to kind of rattle our thinking here. It said, "For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness?" He said, now think about this. Now, you've been declared righteous by salvation, saved by the grace of God. It doesn't really compute, it doesn't make sense for you to have, for unrighteousness to have fellowship with righteousness. So he's laying the foundation for the truth he's going to present to us as far as why we are actually separate unto the Lord and the importance of that. And that's one of the key things that's missing. We sometimes separation is just separation, the end is right there. But it's separate unto, you know. We're separate unto God. Because, you know, I used to have a statement with my children when they would leave the house. I'd say, keep it holy. Then now, holy just means set apart. Now, you can be set apart to anything. And then I say, and later, be holy unto God. Be holy unto the Lord. Because there's times in my life I've been separate and practiced separation, but it was unto myself for my own pride or spiritual arrogance. Now, as we see here, it says, "Be again, and what communion have light with darkness?" It just didn't make sense for light and darkness to be together. And it's not only the foundation that we understand that we really belong to God. And once we're, when you make the decision to repent and come to Christ, you're turning from yourself, from your way, to the way, which is Jesus Christ. So it's now that you turn to the way, it doesn't make sense that you should hang out over here anymore. And that you should gravitate back to here, and it doesn't make sense that if you turn to the way and are walking this way, you should look back and lust under that. And so he's just giving us some simple principles here. Now, hold your place, and we'll be back in a moment. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God we don't get saved by ourselves, because when you get weak, what would happen to your salvation? "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For notice this, for we are His workmanship." We're His workmanship. We're God's project. We belong to God. And so God lays a foundation for you and I that as we belong to Him, we're His workmanship. And since we belong to Him now, we shouldn't be working for anyone else but Him. Now back in the text, that's number one, the foundation of being separate. Now number two, the declaration for being separate. God makes a declaration for our being separate. Now don't miss this. Notice what it says here in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye should be the temple of the living God. Oh, that's not what the Bible says. I've read that by mistake. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? After faithfulness, you will become the temple of the living God. Did I miss it again? Man, must be tired from all that driving. No, the Bible says that you are. Your state of, once you belong to Christ, once you are saved, your state of being is that you are the temple of God. That is what you are, and if you truly have come to Christ with that identity, with that separation, with that being that temple, you can no longer function as what you did when you were not a temple. It's just like I can take this all day long, this songbook here. You know what? I think this is an iPad. I mean, really? I can tap on it. Okay, get the same sound. In fact, I think I'll email Lara right quick. Did you get it? Well, no, she doesn't have her cell phone in the church, so it's good. Hope you don't. In fact, I'm going to post something on Busybody Book. Oh, wait. That's a different sermon. Sorry. I won't hit that one tonight. But it's not working. And I can sit here all day long. I can tap all I want to. And nothing ever happened. And I could, he could say, well, you said you were going to contact me later. Well, I said, yeah, I use my iPad. I sent something to you. Well, where's your iPad? Let's see, it's right here. And you look at me like my coach in basketball used to say, he said, Reiner, where's your brain? You would think there's something wrong with me. And no matter how much I want this, now, it'd be nice if it was an iPad. I mean, because I could sell it on Craigslist for about $400 and make a clean profit. You know? But as much as I want this, no matter how much I try, and I could try all my engineering, I could try all my technology, I could try anything I want to make this an iPad, but guess what? It will never function as an iPad because this is a songbook. And if you truly belong to Christ tonight, ye are the temple of God. And you can try to function in the world, and you can try to do things in the world. You can try to use the world's, live by the world's wisdom. You can try to live by the world's standards. You can try to live by the things that everybody else does in society and govern your life by that. But if you truly belong to Christ, you are the temple of God, and it simply will not work. And that's a very important declaration. You have to understand that because that is such a foundation for everything that we do. Because I think many times through our separation, as we try to practice things, I'm talking about people with good intentions. I mean, people that really, so many people started out years ago, I mean, staying away from this, staying away from that. I mean, you really had the right desire to please the Lord to do those things. But you were doing, instead of really recognizing that it was operating, you needed your state of being. That this was your existence. This is what you are now. This is what you are. You are the temple of God. And since you are the temple of God, your life will now only function one way. Like, you know, when we were driving up here, I really wished our car was an airplane. I mean, it would have been nice, except for paying for the jet fuel. Gas is high already. And it would have been nice to just all of a sudden lift off the highway and be here in a few hours, but it's not going to happen. I could think it up. I could think, well, yeah, I've been playing these. I could say, well, I practiced my flight simulator before I got here. But it's just not going to happen. It's not going to work. Now, there's a few different things, guys. First of all, about a temple. A temple is a public edifice or building erected in honor of some deity. So, if you belong to Christ tonight, you were raised to walk, raise a building, to walk in newness of life. You were erected for a public display of the grace of God. A public display of the power of God. A public display of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says an edifice, another definition, an edifice is erected among Christians as a place of worship. Now, worship is a word that means to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. So, you're God's husbandry, the Bible says. You're God's building, and you're the temple of God. And so, your life is to be a display of honoring the Lord with extravagant love and extreme submission. And as it points out, and God declares, when you come to Christ, that's what you exist for. That's who you are. That is your being. That's what you are. And we'll look at some things about that in a moment. But we feel to see a few things here in the passage here that God tells us in His declaration. First we see in verse 15, God declares in verse 16 His position in your life. He says, I will dwell in them. You know, if you really belong to Christ tonight, when you try to walk away from God, you find that God's still there. You try to get backslidden. You try to be selfish, and the Holy Spirit just convicts you. I mean, I'll never forget one day. I was driving down the highway, and I can't remember if I got frustrated with somebody. I just remember I thought a thought that was not pleasing to the Lord. And out of nowhere, from a construction site, this fence, the wind caught it and knocked the window, the side view mirror off the side of the van. First thing I said, oh Lord, I'm sorry. God knew exactly. God was getting my attention for thinking in a way I wasn't supposed to be thinking. And if you read the stories in the Bible, the people that backslid, you always see the presence of God there. Like Elijah. What doest thou here, Elijah? If you're a Christian, you decide, you get kind of frustrated, you're just going to do things the world's way for a while. And next you know, God's knocking on your door and saying, what doest thou here? Because God, as when He declares you His temple, He says He's going to dwell there. He declares His position is in your life. It's just a question of whether or not we yield to it. And God wants us to yield to it, number one, because God is love. So everything that God expects of you and expects of me, He does it out of His loving character to work in your life and my life what's best for us. So He declares His position, and then He also declares His plan. In verse 16 He says, and I will walk in them. God plans to be moving and working, abounding in your life. And this is all part of His declaration of you are the temple. Ye are the temple. The place where God dwells. The place where He walks. He moves. We used to sing the song about God still moves. In the hearts of the people, God still moves. And so God's plan is to be walking and working in your life. And He expects that. Then he declares His preeminence. Notice what He says. I will walk in them and I will be their God. And this goes back to what we're saying already. Because when you belong to Christ, your life, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is governed by God. And you just can't seem to get away. Kind of like young people live at home. They say, I just can't seem to get away from my parents sometimes. Because when you're a minor, you're under your parents' authority, under control. The government expects them to be over you and watch you. And hopefully, if you have godly parents, they're watching over you so they can turn you back over to the hands of the Lord as His heritage. They didn't have you for themselves anyway. They had you for the glory of God to turn you back over to Him for His glory. And God says He is your God. And again, I've been amazed at how many times that even when I don't feel spiritual, God's still walking in me. And at times when even when I'm not in the perfect will of God and not following God's plan, He still has a presence there. And He still... Even every thought, when I'm wanting to go do my own thing, in the back of my mind, is this really didn't please the Lord. And you know what it is? Because He made me a temple. He set me apart as His temple. Because see, the moment you belong, you're set apart. It's like that our new baby. If you look at him, he's set apart as a harper. Even if we could call his name, any name, we could call him Davis, we could call him Roberts, we can call him Norwood. But if you look at his face, you can tell he's a harper. He's set apart as a harper. Like it or not, that's what he is. And hopefully, by the grace of God, with faithfulness and walking with God, he'll be better than a harper. He'll be like Christ when it's all said and done. Now, and the last thing he declares, this one is a difficult for sometimes he declares his possession. Because they shall be my people. See, you belong to God. And Corinthians also tells you you've been bought with a price. You're God's possession. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So God, see this declaration, because sometimes we when we think of separation, sometimes we think, again, we think of it as something that we're doing, you know. Because we know how to shoot people down who are not as separate as we are, you know. I don't forget, we hadn't been in, I'm going to tell this anyway, hadn't been in church very long, and this person's no longer here, by the way. And right or wrong, we had some, my girls were there, and they were playing with some Barbies. And they don't sell, independent Baptists don't make Barbies, you know that. And so Barbies do not generally come with what you would say call modest apparel. And they're getting it. Well, anyway, I won't go there for now. But we had them in the house, and these people were visiting us, and they almost couldn't take it. I mean, they were very agitated. They couldn't even stay long because we had these Barbies, you know, that weren't dressed like Christians. And it's because they had been doing separation. And they were so struck by it that they just couldn't even focus because of their doing separation. They set themselves apart instead of setting God apart. Because I do understand now it's a good idea not to have half-naked, promiscuous-looking dolls around the house, you know. And so, I mean, think about it. If you really think about the way those things are made and the clothing they're in, it's not. Think about a young boy. What image are you setting in a young child's mind, you know? But if I see it today, I would just politely tell a parent, you've been bothering us because I made the same mistakes. I say, you know what, you might ought to consider, have you ever thought about that, you know? That what images your child is forming in his mind by seeing that, you know? Because I grew up lost. And I know the images that my mind had when I looked at a Barbie as a young child. I'm just telling the truth. It's still okay to tell the truth while you're preaching, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And so, and it wasn't godly, right? And so, unfortunately. But what I'm saying is, we can have such a standing in our own mindset of separation that we can't help anybody. And we don't need to help. But when we have when the state of being is separate, we remember who we're separate unto. And we're separate unto God, and that also keeps us flexible to where God can work with us. Because right now in this room, everybody probably has some degree or some idea, if you're a professing Christian, of what you believe a good Christian is. And most of us, because of the way we misunderstand separation, because it's something we're doing, sometimes not even God can change our mind about things. And that's why we're seeing people that have these standards and conviction falling into great sin, people you never expected. I mean, the pastor of the largest church in Canada committed suicide. I mean, totally caught off guard. It was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James-only church. And yet, every program they did, they practiced standards and convictions, they practiced separation, and he's dead because he missed somewhere that he's separate unto the Lord. It's not just these things that you do. And we need those things because Joshua, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded him to do. So I'm not minimizing the need for all those other things. They're definitely necessary because God commands it. Now, this is the most important one. If you've been sleeping, go ahead and wake up just for a moment. Now, the decision to be separate. In verse 17, we're going to look at the decision to be separate. Now, it says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, the decision that we're talking about really is not really a decision, but it's merely an acceptance. Because we already, if you understood the message so far, you're separate. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, ye are the temple of God. You're separate. It's just a question whether or not you accept that. You know, it's funny how the Lord works. I was praying this afternoon. I'd walked from the mission house over to the Panera Bread and was studying my Bible. And the church I got saved in, I had a godly deacon there named Phil Xerxes. He gave me some great advice to help me with my family years ago. And I visited the church Eastern Baptist Church where I got saved, right before I went to the field. Well, I saw him the week before that I came here, of course, we had our last services here. And Phil came to the back, and he gave me some advice that irritated me at the time. I mean, honestly, I didn't understand his advice until this afternoon in preparation for this message. Because years ago when I made some horrible mistakes with our finances and got our family evicted, and I called the church for help, Brother Phil, talking on the phone, the first thing he said, Brother Ronnie, you cannot do this to your family. And I thought, man, that wasn't very nice to him. Because in my own mindset of separation, I humbled myself and called the church for help, you know. I humbled myself. He should be nice to me. He should feel bad for me. Does he know I feel bad? I put my family in this situation? No, he gave me a wake-up call to recognize my responsibility as a father and a husband. And so this last service here, Phil comes up to me, and he looks at me, and he has tears in his eyes. And he says, Brother Reiner, he said, you're black. He said, don't let anybody discourage you. And Brother Phil is a white person, not that it matters, but... And I thought, well, yeah, that's what I thought when I left the mirror this morning. and he's serious, and he said, "Don't let anyone discourage you, but you're black." And so I walked away from there, and I told my wife. I said, because I'd made a statement when I gave my testimony to the church how Brother Phil had made a difference in my life. And here again, my youthful ignorance and arrogance. I said, you know, I guess he just wanted to have something else good to say, you know, before I left, you know. I mean, that's how prideful I was. I mean, and it's shameful to think about that. And I thought about the advice through the years. And I'm thinking about this message on separation. And I was praying today. And the Lord said, now this is almost 10 years later. I got what he's saying. See, because I'm black, there are certain things that come with that. There's a certain bit of racism I have to endure. There's a certain degree of stereotypes that will always follow me because I'm black. Because I'm black and my children are half black, my sons automatically assume to be able to play basketball. They can, by the way. But it's an assumption because you're black, right? Nobody ever looks at them, I'll bet you'll be a good preacher one day. They probably think, they automatically say you... It's just an assumption. They assume black people play basketball, which it was part of our culture. But that's beside the point for now. And I was thinking about that, and that because of that, see, if I embrace that and just recognize that there are always going to be some degree of racism, some degree of prejudice, some degree of stereotypes. And by the way, after being in Canada and all the different nationalities, that's with so many different backgrounds. You know, people have stereotypes for every different group you come from. You know, hey, and you come back to Missouri from the part of town you're on, or what city you're from. And I was thinking about that, meditating on that, and so if I don't accept that and walk in that, then I can be bitter, I can be frustrated, or I can say, you know what, for some reason God in His wisdom chose to make me black because He needed me to be black, because that was the only way He could work in me the way that He wanted to work in me. And whatever background you're from, God needed you to be that so He can work in you whatever way He needed to work in you. And I'm walking back from Panera Bread, and God confirmed it because these two guys driving a truck yelled out some obscenity at me. I said, praise the Lord, you confirmed the message, you know. I thought, God is good, you know. But now what does that mean in regard to separation? Now, if you embrace the fact that you're the temple of God, there's always going to come a certain prejudice with that. Oh, you're one of those Christians. Oh, you're going to be, are you trying to, are you holier than thou? Well, hopefully I'm holy as the Lord. That's my goal. Should be your goal. There's always going to be a certain degree of mockery, a certain degree of unacceptance. I was talking to a lady at Walmart just over there. I was getting ready to witness to her, and she told me she was a missionary. She grew up in Michigan in the Netherlands. And she told me she just moved back to this area, and she went through culture shock. She said she rented an apartment in Willard, and the guy told her straight up, he said, if you get married, and he said, if you marry Hispanic or black, you're out of here. You know? And I thought, wow, 2011. But you know what? That's there again. That's just the way it is. No, instead of being bitter, it did get better. And you know what? If you try to live a life unto the Lord, just mark it down, you're going to get treated like Jesus was. You're going to get mocked sometimes. You're going to get scorned sometimes. You're going to get misunderstood sometimes. And you're going to live and do and sacrifice into a world. It will never be enough. Because really, what more could Jesus have done to prove He was God? What more could Jesus have done to prove He is love? I mean, He went into cities and the Bible said He healed them all. Every single one of them. And still, they wanted Him dead. And with being the temple of God, if you accept the temple that God made you to be, then you know you're prepared to endure. But see, if you don't accept that, you always have a chip on your shoulder, you know. I remember, I'm sure I mentioned this some time ago, but I remember a family mentioned, asked me, how do you just endure racism? I said, well, people hated Jesus for who He was, and He kept His mouth shut. Because the Bible said He opened His mouth. My dad used to have a saying, he said, when you have your hand in the lion's mouth, you pet him. And so we were telling him, because where we grew up in Texas, you know, we grew up, and I remember some nights across the interstate, you could see crosses burning in the circle way. And they weren't praising Jesus, by the way. But I remember him telling me, if you ever got pulled over, he said, keep your hands on the steering wheel at all times so the police officer could see him. And because of his wisdom and his humility to share that, and you know, he didn't gripe. He didn't murmur, he didn't complain, but he just, for the time he grew up, that's just the way it was. And because I accepted that, the first time I got pulled over the speed, and I probably didn't get shot, you know, because I didn't have my hands. I said, I had my hands on the top of the steering wheel. You know? I shouldn't be treated like this, and da da da. No, I wanted to live. Amen. And we can say, well, the world ought to love us for being separate unto God. Doesn't the world understand that the reason we're trying to be like Christ is because we're trying to reach them, we're trying to live for Christ so they can see Christ in us? They'll never understand. And your life, again, is as a temple, you're put on public display to be like Jesus. And for Christ to be seen in you. You know, the next series I'll be preaching holiness, and because he said, be ye holy, so state of being holy. And you know, the principle of holiness, and tip somebody off in advance, but you won't be there. You better not, you should be here. But you know what most Christians struggle? Now, in God's person, He says something. He says, to whom will ye liken me? And they'll say, well, what likeness do you compare unto me? See, God cannot be compared to anyone. But you know, and most of the young people that ever go through issues is because they compare themselves to another person that calls themselves a Christian. And especially if it happens to be against principles of holiness, then that's the direction they want to go. And you know why? And can I tell you, it's not their fault. Let me tell you why. And if you're a parent, if you're a Christian parent, surely you never said this. Why don't you just be like so-and-so? I said that. And then they get older and said, don't be like so-and-so. what you need to do is when they're young, which I wish I would have known better, is that, have you considered this? Is this an action that the Lord Jesus Christ would be in? Did you tell me about when you gave your life to Christ? Did you give your life to Christ? So if you gave your life to Him, do you think He would want you now as His child to be acting or behaving in this way? And see, if they have the acceptance, see, and this is kind of important, because when the acceptance is right, then they've accepted they're the temple, and they want to be a part of that temple. But until the acceptance is right, you can show them every biblical reason, and this goes for adults too, why they should be a certain way. But if you don't accept the temple, no matter how good the proof is, you still won't be separate. Because you're doing separation, because you already in your mind, you are doing enough in your own mind to make you pleasing. And most of them be accepted among the brethren. But when everything is right in honoring to God, then it's like you've given God a blank check. Because you're His temple, you accept the fact that guess what? There are going to be some certain problems that come with that. There's, if we, as Christians, we pick up our cross daily. And last time I checked, the cross never had any pleasure with it. And so we understand certain principles and we accept that. And then we walk with that. And then God is able to govern absolutely every area of our life. Kind of when I was a youth pastor, because I'd preach hard on staying away from this, staying away from that. And actually, that's why I'm like, because honestly, I can say whatever I want to say about Facebook. But if you don't have the mindset that, wait a minute, I am the temple. And everything I do revolves around God working in me and moving in me. And me as a temple being a public display of the person of God Himself. Then I can show you every biblical reason why you shouldn't be on Facebook or whatever. And by the way, I'm not saying because I don't use Facebook, I'm more spiritual. I'm not. So I'm not saying that at all, because that goes back to the doing separation. That's where we get that mindset. And that's just one of many things, but since I mentioned Facebook, I'm talking about that. And whatever issue it may be, whether it be dress, whether it be music, whatever, until you have the mind, the way that I'm the temple, and everything I do is public display, no matter what reason, biblically giving, because you're already doing separation. You've already got it answered. Because doing has an end. And I'm saying this because I've walked in exact same situation. I've had people try to correct me about something. And because I was doing separation, I'm not like this group. I'm doing more than they're doing. I mean, you ought to be satisfied I'm just doing this. But I began to recognize, you know, it doesn't matter what Christian A, B, C, and D are doing. I'm separate, not unto the Lord by comparison to them. I'm separate unto God by His holy standard, the Word of God. And if I'm so separate, am I here all by myself and nobody else is over here with me? It's unto God in the first place. It never was meant to impress them. It never was meant to please them. It was meant for me to get as close as I possibly can to the God that saved me. Amen? And see, when that mindset is right, then, again, God has a blank check with your life. And you don't battle all these things and these issues because you are the temple, and you recognize you exist just to be the temple, not to be an iPad or a hammer, whatever else you think you want to try to use this for. You exist just for Him. And then when you look in the Bible, and someone says something to you, and even if they say it in the wrong spirit, and it's right, because you're the temple, it's God's Word. I mean, right now, if I had a $100 bill, and Caleb and I just came and just said, crumpled up and said, here! Philip Ryder, could you unfold that and hand it to me properly? No, you take it, amen? No, if you got, and maybe I just may say $10,000 or something, man. Whatever. And the truth is placed at your disposal. No matter what package it came in. Because there again, you're the temple now. And you've accepted the reality that you are the temple. And you've accepted that I'm no longer, like John 8:44 says, I'm no longer, my devil is no longer my father. I don't have to do the lust of him anymore. I'm the temple. I'm the public edifice of God. I'm the place where God dwells. I'm the place where God walks. I'm the possession of God. So He has a right to do with me what He was. And you chip it out with, and if you put that down with the fact that God is love, what's there to be afraid of? And being totally separate unto Him. But you know, it takes some study. The Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. But if you really do that and live that, we'll all be amazed at how much more we're like Christ. Now, in the decision to be separate, now the word be, since he said to be, he said it needs to be fixed. See, that acceptance will be fixed. Just like the illustration I use. When I accept the fact that God made me black. That's just the way it is. God, you know what? God knew the world I'd be living in. God knew the situations that I would be put in, due to racism and bigotry and things like that. God knew those situations, and yet still God chose me to make me that way. And so, since God's always right, as I accept that, then the fact that I'm no longer is a reason to make excuses, no longer for the way people are, or it would be so much easier if this would happen or that would happen. No, this was God's choice. And so, let's just run with it and enjoy life. Amen. Bless them to curse you. Pray for them to spitefully use you. Now, three things here very simply. In the decision, you have to accept God's declaration. That's what we already talked about. Just accept the declaration. Because he says here, come out from among them. That's showing that you accept it. You know what? I'm not going to be like most people, just gripe and whine and complain. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy the Christian life. It's not hard to be a Christian. Amen. If you're saved, it's hard not to be. Really, if you really belong to Christ, you chop backslide. Praise God for chasing you. This ain't working, man. I remember I was so dumb one time. I can't remember I got in trouble at school once, and I was getting ready to get a whip, and I put one of those. I don't know if you, anybody know what those highlight magazines are. I thought it'd be wise to stick one of those highlight magazines in my britches. And I didn't realize that my mama was wise enough, and she hit that thing once, she would know that's not my bottom. And that just made everything worse, amen. Because then, once she got it out of there, she made through that she really got through to me because I insulted her intelligence by putting it in there. But praise God. But you know what? I never doubted who my mama was. And I look back and I praise God before she went to heaven. I was able to thank her for being so strict and so firm with me. But you, number two, if you're going to follow this, if you're going to be follow the decision to be separate, you have to embrace your separation. You have to embrace it. And that's where he says, be separate. Your state of being is you belong to God. You're his temple. Not sometimes his temple. Not because you're in here with all of God's people. But when you do go, and you are by yourself, and you are alone, be separate. Embrace your separation. And realize who it's for and what it's for. It's unto him. Not as a standard of self-righteousness. Not to feel good about what you're doing. But simply to honor the one that saved you from your greatest enemy, yourself. And the last thing, he says, yield not to temptation. So accept God's declaration. Embrace your separation and yield not to temptation, he says, and touch not the unclean thing. One thing I will say about Facebook, I realize I know a lot of people that use it, but if you find that you're not being godly on it, then you probably ought to get away from it. Because you know what? Certain people can do certain things probably, and they may be spiritually mature enough to handle it, you know. But there again, since your separation is under God, you're not just getting involved in something because you see somebody else you respect doing it. You're asking the Lord, Lord, since I belong to you and since you rule my life, is this okay with you? Because in everything you do, you don't ask God, you don't sit there thinking, well, is this, just put your conviction, whatever your standard of separation is that you struggle with. Or when people think about this, we all have certain things about separation. And if somebody mentions it, it's like, I call them chalkboard verses.
Don't mention it that again.
Like, I'm just telling you, for some of you, when you're on Facebook, you're like... No, you shouldn't be, because, there again, if you're separate, and you're in it just because God said it's okay, you're secure in that. Just like me being a black person, those guys, when they said their obscenity, I prayed for them. And I laughed, and I thank God for confirming the message. I said, I can't believe there's racism with it. I can't believe it. Where's the police at? Lord, can I just be unfaithful for a minute? Like the old days. No, I'm just faithful. And that's the thing. So, but when we're just doing what we feel like we can get away with, what's allowable to God, then when someone mentions that thing, there again, because we're not in something because we're the temple, and we're not in it only because it projects Christ, then it's something that's a part of us. And you know you can't say anything about me. Man, that's good preaching. That's going to help somebody if you get it, amen. I pray I get the message too, amen. I was preaching like that. But don't give a temptation. But see, if you've accepted what God says and you embrace it, then the yielding, man, you don't want to yield to temptation. And you walk circumspectly. You know, Pastor asked me today, I want to take his scooter around, you know. And honestly, I kind of wanted to ride it. But I sat there and I thought about it, and I thought, you know what, I really don't have a purpose for riding. And I thought, I'm here today, I'm supposed to preach tonight. And so I might do something right now just because I can. And there's nothing ungodly about riding a scooter around town. Praise God, save gas. I wish I had one in Toronto. But for today, as I was thinking about what God had for me today, I thought, you know what? I wanted to ride. I mean, I thought it'd be fine. But today, the Holy Spirit just said, no, just don't do that. And I can't find your verse. I can't point to anything, but because I accept the fact that I'm God's temple, my father said no, and I said, you know, I better not do that. And I was content, had a good day. Felt through the past before, and after I got back from doing some things as well. And so the yielding, not that you're seeing it, see, temptation isn't always some big sin issue. It's a lot of times it's the weights that so easy beset us. Last thing I'll do is real quick. In verse 18, it says something here. It says, and I call this the humiliation of being separate. I won't spend a lot of time here. I'll let you study this yourself. But in verse 18, it says, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, when I'm mentioning this passage, what I see here is Psalm 23 being lived out in your life. Because he says, when you come out, when you're separate, you experience God as your father. He said, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. And you get to see God in a whole new life. And actually, in Psalms 23, turn it just more, we'll read that and we'll be done. I thank the Lord for my father, my dad that's here tonight, you know. And, you know, he was talking about playing basketball, and I'd never forget my dad. I thank the Lord for this. My dad never pushed me to be an athlete. My dad never was trying to relive any dreams through me. My dad wanted me to get education because he saw that there was a better way than trying to become somebody on the basketball court. And I thank the Lord that he was a father to me and recognizing that there's a better way. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reason I call this humiliation is because if you notice in the psalm here, God is doing almost everything. And the man after God's own heart is simply admiring what God is doing in his life. He. And that's it. But see, that the humiliation is because when we really are separate, there's not very much we can take glory for. And as we see He lead us, as we see Him make us, as we see Him prepare for us, we realize how small we really are. And it just makes us want to be even more separate. So I ask you something, what's your state of being tonight? Are you here tonight? And I know most of my church family here, and I thank the Lord for you, your labor and your sacrifice. And so let anything be done for our family to keep us on the field. But are you separate? Are you being separate? Or have you just been doing things because it's the status quo? That's why you're so edgy, you know. If you're giving, why are you giving? Because there's really a desire of God. I talked to a man, I was in Manitoba once, and a guy was having trouble with Brother Rudy's church, and he was, you know how they always want to ask the preacher something so they can get someone to pass it right there. And he asked me some of my missionaries and my pastor and all this money going here, and I said, look, let me tell you something. I said, when I tithe and I give the missions, I give it to God. I said, if the pastor runs over with all the money, I don't care, because I gave that money to God. I didn't give it because of pressure. I didn't give it because I expected any honor. And so I don't care how you spend it, because that's not my responsibility. I don't have to worry about that. That's between him and God. Amen. So you do it. I said, are you in a church where God wants you? Are you in this church by designation of the Holy Ghost of God? Then just relax. That's not a sermon. But why do you do what you do as a Christian? Is it because it's the way you've been trained, what you do, or have you caught a glimpse of the fact that, wow, God, of all the things He could have chosen to be the place where He dwells, He chose you. And He wants to walk in you. And the things that He's trying to get you to come out from is so He can further work in you and shine the light of Christ through you. Are you here tonight and you've never been saved? You never give me life to Christ. And it's not a good night to be saved. But today is a day of salvation. You know, the decision is the same for everyone. If you've never been saved, you need to come out from yourself. Repent. Turn. Trust Christ as your Savior. If you are saved and you've just been doing a lot of things and you don't sense that closeness with God, and maybe you're in a situation where now you really hadn't been doing that much because you had your eyes on people and you're bitter at what people did to you or what you think they did to you, when God just had you there to be what He wants you to be, you just need to turn from that doing. So, Lord, I want to reclaim my position as a temple. I want to accept what You gave me as a temple. And, Father, here's a blank check for my life. Whatever You want from me is Yours. I preached a message some time ago called Who's Writing Your Story? The Bible says God is the author and finisher of our faith. But it might be good to say, Father, I've been fearful. I've been trying to handle things my own. Here's my life as a book. Since I'm Your temple, would You erase everything I've done and write my story? Author my life from this moment forward. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You do whatever it is You desire to do. So this is a good church with a lot of good loving people.